Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Lead Up Podcast, where we connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey. And so you can level up your leadership. And this is episode 35. I'm going to introduce my guests in just a second, but I want to give, as always, a shout out to Darling New Media, recording studio in Midtown. Shout out to Nate, making all these things happen. And thank you to all those that are listening or tuning in right now. Just super excited for what we have for tonight. So without further ado, just want to introduce a good friend of mine, someone that I've known and had the privilege to know the last couple of years, Anthony Ziba, a.k.a. Ziba, or a.k.a. Zabisky. What's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Renato? Oh, man. I'm super elated, super humble. You know, just being led on to the Leadership Podcast, the Lead Up Podcast, excuse me. And yeah, I'm hyped. I'm happy to be here, man. Happy to support.
Appreciate it, man. And this is proof that Kaziba is a super listener. He loves the, he be posting stuff. I'm like, oh, you be really listening to the stuff.
Because oh, yeah.
This is not something that happens at the beginning, or it's like at a 27 minute mark. So that's when I know he's really, really listening to the show. So really appreciate you. And just glad that you can be on here, man. But let's just jump in, man. Just sharing a little bit about who is Anthony Ziba, sharing a little, you know, what is your background? What's your story, man?
Sure. So who is Anthony Ziba? That is still a question I'm still reflecting on. But, you know, I'm, you know, an African-American man that was born from Malawi. A Malawian father and an African-American mother as well, who ended up meeting and ended up having two children, my older brother and then also me. And as I have grown up, I have, you know, ended up learning a lot of things from both of them. My father ended up making me a man of discipline, a man that takes pride in integrity and things of that nature. But my mom taught me how to lead with kindness, how to lead with being gentle, how to lead with patience. So very much, you know, those two individuals really affected me in a positive way. And just also their belief system as well, they're believing in God and pouring that into me at a very young age, because they were older parents. You know, my mom was about, you know, 40, 41 when she had me, my dad, you know, 10 years her older. So very much like I ended up having like an old soul, you know, growing up a lot, you know, being called grandpa at like 18, right? You know, because there was just things that my mom and my dad had wisdom wise that they just, you know, that they gave to me. And that was something that I didn't appreciate until now, because of just the way that I've been able to navigate, just, you know, life circumstances, whether that's, you know, keeping a job or even just staying in school, getting a degree, having that, like, you know, that fervor or that, you know, that tenacity to stay in.
Yeah. No, that's dope, man. And we've gotten to know each other, I would say, the last 5 going on 6 years now, just through, we started out working out together, or not working out, but working together for the same organization. And I think from afar, we never worked at the same place until I think a couple of years in, when we met at Sac State and kind of started that journey of like working together, being really a team. And then I would say even supporting each other outside of work as well through goals and, you know, meet up at Old Soul with other folks and kind of just, you know, brainstorming and kind of, looking at what could be, right, of like different goals that we want for ourselves spiritually, personally. And there's been a lot of things, man, just in the last couple of years that you've kind of embarked on. But I'm curious, man, if you could just share a little bit about kind of that transition from the Sac State, you know, finishing up college, which was a journey for you, kind of going into the workplace. And what was that like for you?
Man, yeah, that straight out of school, like that was just a big part of like my identity, because I stayed in it for so long, just trying to get that bio degree. But after graduating, I was starting to get pulled into the things that I was really passionate about. I loved doing the work at the organization that we worked at, but it was it had plateaued for me, and But I was also very scared because I was like, but this has always been a constant. This has always been secure. This is always something that I know I could stay here and, you know, grow within the company. You know how they always say, you know, but, but I was really getting called. I was really saying like, man, I really want to work in a science lab if this is really something that I really want to do. And but before even touching ground on that, I ended up, you know, taking a step back from our, you know, our shared organization and ended up thinking that I was going to get a lab job real quick, like right out the gate, like, hey, I got my degree. So what y'all need, you know, and I'm, you know, an African-American male, like y'all don't really see them, you know, see us like that, you know, in these spaces. And so I'm thinking that, you know, I'm the golden ticket, right? I'm the, you know, Willy Wonka golden ticket, to be honest with you. Yeah, nobody called me back. And so now I got to figure out how to get this, how do I get this money? How do I pay my bills? And that is the first time that I started DoorDashing. That was the first time that I started lifting. And then I also ended up working at the You know, but at that time, yeah, just trying to figure out ways, you know, how to support myself. And you already know, working at the airport too, and not inside the airport, not with Delta, not with you know, Southwest.
Not the sky captain.
You know, but at a warehouse at the airport, you know, and where we're pushing freight, and it's cold out there, and they do not care if it is, you know, freezing and it's raining. You know, they expect you to work, you know. So yeah, so that was kind of like my life right after getting that degree, man. It was definitely not like, you know, gumdrops and rainbows. It was definitely that work.
And what does that kind of like that do for your psyche, right? I kind of mentioned that because there's probably some people out there, whether they're going for a certain major or maybe they envision themselves, right? Kind of like you're saying, like, I remember you talking specifically is like going into labs and, you know, being a professor and all these different things. And people may have those aspirations, but it doesn't always pan out maybe in the way that they wanted. So what did that kind of do to your psyche? What did that kind of do to maybe your motivation or having that vision and holding on to that? I'm curious, man, just kind of share, speak a little into that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, there were some times of being disheartened, but there was a time of like a lot of embarrassment, and it wasn't like intentional from people that knew me, but you know, when you get comments saying like, man, you still working at the airport, you know, things of that nature, it kind of, you know, does something to your confidence a little bit. And, but you do have to have, when you see that vision, when you, you know, make that effort to leave what is comfortable, this is to be expected. And you should have that heart posture saying like, hey, I should not just expect the end result. I should also expect the conflict, the struggle. Ooh, you know, these are things that, you know, that you got to be able to humble yourself and be able to accept if you're going to jump. You know, I know that Steve Harvey talks about jumping all the time, but, you know, that it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And I think that was something that I had to develop through that time when I did leave.
Yeah,
because, you know, initially I'm walking in confident and whatnot, and I had to get, you know, brought down a couple of notches. But in that, you're able to become a lot more wiser, and then also be able to have some tenacity in regards to like staying to what you want to do as a goal.
Right. And what I loved about you too, man, is like, I think shortly after the airport, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you actually ended up working at a lab, right? But what happened kind of ironically, it kind of pivoted again, like that vision, like you got there and the vision kind of transformed or evolved into something else. Which is a beautiful thing, because it's like, cool, I kind of did what I wanted to do, that I sought out to be. But now it's kind of changing into something else, and something else that I get excited about now, right? So maybe kind of speak to kind of what happened along the way of like you getting to that place, but then now the vision is kind of changing, and where is that changing to?
Man, I appreciate these questions, Renato. This is also like a sentiment that, yeah, you're always growing, even in your vision for your life. So I got into the lab, you know, I'm full of fire. I'm ready. I'm like, I finally arrived. And right. Once I get there, it is not what I expected. I enjoyed it. I love doing the science behind it. But as I was analyzing data, I was like, my gifts aren't being used here. I'm not feeling like I'm making an impact, like I want to make an impact. Because I can analyze data all day, but if I'm not seeing what changes is happening in people's lives, I'm just like, this is just another job. So after that had happened, I was like, well, what am I going to do next? Like, I don't know what else I have left. And, you know, being able to connect with you and some other close friends and allies, I asked, you know, I was asking questions saying like, hey, like, you know, have you think I can be like a counselor or something like that? And it was like a unanimous, like, we were waiting for you to finally get there, you know? You know, and so I was like, all right, let me do a little bit more research, you know, so I'm researching some colleges and whatnot. And yeah, like I was super, you know, excited when they were sending me like the questions for you to answer for like some of these college applications. They were like saying like, okay, well, what do you think about this? And I'm like, you know, chopping away. And I'm like, man, like, this really feels right. This really feels right. And once you get that other goal locked in, the one that you were recently at, the one that you thought that you arrived at, that one is already to the wind. I remember you like, you know, already giving them like my 2 weeks already. Because I was like, look, I got to bounce now. But that 2 weeks didn't happen until I had the other job lined up. You know, I had to learn from some of my lessons when I left our previous organization initially. So, but yeah, that's what ended up happening, sir.
Man, and here you are today, right? You're in grad school. You're going for a counselor, right? Talk to me about the process, things that you're learning now, because I definitely want to touch on some other opportunities that you did, I think, either during or before grad school, about the leadership opportunity that you know, I mean, so maybe we can start there, kind of just sharing just like what happened during that change when you pivoted, and what are you doing now?
Got it. So in regards to, you know, what's going on with school, just learning a lot. And, you know, you'll know that you're in the right place as soon as you take those first two classes and you're saying like, oh, I really like this. You're in the right spot. It's not anything complicated or anything like that, where it's just like, well, maybe I just got to keep working towards it. No, when you take that class and that master's class, this is supposed to be something that you actually enjoy. But to allude to what you were saying previously, right before getting into college, I ended up doing leader school, and nobody is familiar with that. It is going to be Dr. Matthew Stevenson's leader school program. He is a very famous apostle, preacher, pastor, but he has spent hours and hours of time focusing just on leadership. And regardless if you know, have like a spiritual background or anything like that, it's highly effective, effective. And it really changed how I view myself as a leader. You know, me thinking in my mind that, you know, my leadership is supposed to be like, I'm supposed to know everything. I'm supposed to be the go-to person. I'm supposed to be golden boy, you know. This is the Anthony show, you know what I mean? And, you know, where like people come to me and I give them advice, you know. But even in that, I kept finding myself saying like, man, like, how come I don't have all the answers? How come I can't give like the nuggets like this person or this leader or this leader? And the idea was, it was saying like, no, we're not trying to, you know, make you into like the next Dr. Matthew Stevenson or next Renato Guerra. Like, this is like, no, we're just sharpening the Anthony Ziba leadership, right? And so these things, the things that I said in the beginning, where it was like, hey, I'm a leader in the things that, you know, are like, I like being kind, gentle. I also like, you know, being a counselor. I like to listen to people. Like, these are the things of value that that I have. And uniquely, other people may have different traits, but that is where your leadership is And ironically, I was like watching like a quick Dr. Matthew Stevenson like a seminar, and he ended up talking about burdens, and I was like, hey, what does he mean by burdens? And if you are, why is it that we care about certain things that other people don't care about? And it kind of focuses in on where your leadership lies. How come there is so much like ideas in regards to like, because I'm very passionate about minority mental health and specifically Black men.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about them all the time. This is where I'm working now. I'm working as a community advocate for African-American fathers.
That's right.
I'm passionate about, but you know, how come it's like, man, well, nobody really cares like that for me. That is because that flows into like your purpose. That is where your leadership lies. It's very similar to you, Renato, where it's like, why am I doing this leader? How come like I want to focus on leadership so much? Mm-hmm. This is like a level of, or where your leadership lies, where it's like, hey, I want to bring on leaders and then hopefully be able to even share some things with those that are coming up as well. So, that's kind of like, the leader school really impacted me in a major way to where, it's kind of really affected my leadership philosophy a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I just want to affirm you in that because I think since that time, and I think even a little before, but I can confidently say since that opportunity that you took to invest in yourself, you are more confident, you're more bold, but you're more sure of who you are, which is something that that I love about whether it's about myself, because that's kind of what we're hoping to do, right? As we kind of navigate life, we're hoping to just know, being more secure in who we are, what we're about, what we believe in, what we're not about. But I'm curious if you could speak to also just like kind of the importance of investing in yourself. Cause again, I imagine there was probably, I don't know if it was like I see this, I'm gonna do it. Or if there was like a time period, like it's something I really want to do. Because again, I've noticed that a lot of, I don't even want to say successful, but really leaders and people that, that are making moves and going forward with things, they invest in themselves, whether that's books, podcasts, programs like this. I'm curious, man, just like as a way to encourage people to really think about what does it mean to invest in yourself? Mm-hmm. Kind of like, what was that kind of, why did you see this as the opportunity for you to invest in? Like, yes, I'm going to take part in that.
Man, that is a good question, because initially, even when it came to like going to school, I was in that same realm where I was just like, yeah, I don't know if it's the right timing. I don't know if this is this, but I just had people around me that were, saying like, hey, like by this time in the next like 3 years, if you don't do this, you'll be in the same place. And so I was like, okay, I got you. But when it came to leader school, I had took the master class, the 3-day master class, and I was just moved by it. I was like, you know what? Like, this is saying that I am a leader, even with, with all of like my thoughts and like all of my like previous notions about what a leader is supposed to be. You know, I'm thinking like, well, I don't really fit that mold. I said, no, you are the mold, who you are is the mold. So I think that that's what made me, and to be honest with you, like our stimulus dropped. So I was like, I got the money for it. So let me just put it towards something. Cause I was good already. I said, look, I got the rent paid. All right. This is just that extra. And a lot of people, they were saying, you probably saw on the Instagram saying like, they spent it on like the shoes, the new car, whatever. But I was like, hey, where can I put this money that'll actually continue to invest in me? Right. Until like the end of my day. So
Ziva said, hair done, nails done,
everything
good. Right.
Everything
right.
Did, good. Man.
That's awesome, man. kind of pivoting here a little bit, and this is more kind of like a reflective kind of question. Looking at your current experience, or even as the years that I'm referring to from school, the jobs you've taken, the transitions, or even before I even met you, but like something you wish someone had told you about leadership.
I would say that being who you are is leadership. I think that a lot of times there's so much comparison going on that we can kind of miss it. But I really wish that people or the individuals in my life that impacted me, I wish I heard more saying like, I know that you're trying to be like everyone else. I know that you're trying to have this type of strength. I know that you're trying to have this type of intellect, this type of profound wisdom, but who you are is enough. Who you are is a leader. And we're just gonna pour into that. That's enough. And so I just wanna push that, you know, whoever is just hopping on, it could be anybody like, you know, that you meet at the store, things of that nature, like who you are is a leader. We have to bring it. We have to bring those parts out, you know? So that's it.
That's good, man. And I think that within that kind of, within that response, it can be hard to, you know, if you don't have maybe the right people and you're just trying to find different outlets or different things to kind of find inspiration. Kind of the question I want to ask you is like, what inspires you in those moments of, you know, challenging moments or seasons of life? And, you know, what's kind of the fuel that keeps you going?
Man, that I know that, I mean, in those arduous times that I know that my change is going to come after this. My maturity is going to come after this. My betterment, like, that as much as I don't like getting hurt, Renato, as much as I don't like getting stretched, as much as I don't like having to go through the fire and the ideas that I don't even expect it, I know that when you like at zero, like when you are at the bottom of the bottom, there's only up to go, you know, there's only, you can only rise up when it comes to, you know, you know, hitting rock bottom. And so I know that in that, my change is going to happen. My maturity is going to happen. The wisdom that I didn't originally have is going to be here. The knowledge, things of that nature. So I would say that in those hard times where you're just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Just know that it also doesn't last forever. That you are also there for a reason. And there's a reason why you didn't tap out in the beginning. And that you're almost done. It's always in the middle. It's always that you know, the pathway within the middle that's like, maybe I should go back or maybe I should go forward. Please continue to go forward, because in the struggle, you will not only reach your goal, but you'll be able to learn all the things that you learned within the middle as well. So
yeah, I love that. And speaking of moving forward, where do you see yourself moving forward in the next few years as you're in this current stage? Is, you know, you're working full time, going to school. What is like kind of the next things for you? Where do you see yourself in the next couple of years?
In the next couple of years, I will have my master's degree in LPCC. If you're wondering what that is, it's going to be the licensed professional clinical counselor.
There you go.
And going in and getting my hours, you know, it's a lot of hours to get, but you know, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be so worth it. When it comes to the job that I'm working at currently, I may end up transitioning out, or maybe I'll be able to keep it. Just due to that, but I really love where I work right now. Being able to talk with dads and actually have like a male presence at my job, and being able to talk about these things of like, what are the struggles that, you know, men go through specifically that aren't really talked about? I would say that I will get this house going. Okay. Yeah. Get this house going. And maybe, and then also just seeing, you know, if this crypto thing is what it's supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? Hey, like if I'm just going to use that money on a cheeseburger or something like that, let me put it towards something that may give me something back.
The most delicious crypto cheeseburger ever.
Hey, man. I take you out to dinner, man. I say, I told you it worked. I work for that. You know what I mean? But those are probably some of the few things in the next couple of years that I'm hoping to achieve.
That's awesome. I love that you mentioned your current job. Because even when you had first told me, I was like, wait, so it's you're leading a group of fathers, but you're not a father. So, and not to throw shade, but it's more of like, you know, I'm thinking about other positions or opportunities where it's like, where people might question of like, wait, am I the right person to lead something like this if I don't have the same experience or life experience or situation, right? So maybe kind of dig into that a little bit of like, what was that like for you in terms of being in the space that you're in your role, trying to, yeah, help me understand that a little bit, because I want to kind of encourage some people that maybe thinking of like, no, I can't envision myself being there because I can't relate, or they won't take me serious because, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I just had to talk to like, you know, my leadership group about it, because I was feeling that. I was feeling like I don't belong. But for one, I had to let people know to listen to the title. Like, don't listen to your assumptions. I'm a community resource advocate. Community resource advocate. Nowhere in there
that
says
that.
Nowhere in there says father. Nowhere in there says dad. One other thing was that when I applied for the job, I ended up finding out from my supervisor that they were looking for a person for like 4 to 5 months. Mm. I was like, wait, what? There's tons of dads in Sacramento. What do you mean? I said, no, but they weren't the one that we were looking for. Mm. And when they found me, I interviewed, they said, you are the one that we want to fit this position in. And wow. So there can be some, you know, some misidentifying in the space that you're in. But
yeah,
if you're in the room, mm-hmm. I need you to own that.
Like, oh,
for real.
Okay.
Like, I need you to be able to walk with some confidence on it. Yeah. Because it's okay that you can have some, you know, some lost days, you know, and some days that you lose. But for the majority of the time that you're in that space, that is your territory. And you got to be able to be impactful in that. You know, you can't just be like, well, this ain't for me. You here already, so you might as well do something well with it. So that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
No, you got more. I know that. man, just keep going on the gen. Maybe just something that I want to give to, again, to people that are listening or tuning in, just a practical like gem or hack that helped you, or something that can be applied, you know, like a one step, two step thing that they can just take away from this, from either from your experience or as they kind of pursue their own thing.
Gotcha. Be humble in the process. If you have a mentor, if you have someone that has been in the industry longer than you, you are going to have some rough times with them. But the times that are good, please know that they are going to be your teacher. And please don't lose that humility in regards of just like, man, well, I just, you know, I know better than them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get along with them at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not cool like that. Find peace within yourself about the space that you're in. You're there for the knowledge. You're there for the wisdom. You know, you can't just be, you know, a millionaire just from just waking up one day and saying that you want to. You got to be able to also learn from those that have done it. You know,
yeah.
And so I would say that, like, in the spaces that you're saying, like, man, like, I don't know if this is it because my, you know, my boss is whack or my mentor, you know, they're telling me to do all this quote unquote weird stuff. Like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
Just go through the process. Take the yes. The yes, no good story has ever been said with no, you know.
Dang.
You know, all good stories to say like, I took the yes here. And even though it sucked on some parts and it was good on the others, the story behind you taking the yes is what's making your leadership. It's what's like, I can actually share this and impact somebody.
Yeah.
I would say that.
So good, Zeeba. I'm impressed, bro. Seriously, proud of you. okay, as we start kind of landing the plane, I'm gonna get into the lightning round. These are questions I did not share with you. First thing that comes to mind, I gotta give a shout out to Nehemiah. He took the lightning round very serious because that ended up being one of the longer segments of his episode, which is crazy.
I was going to say that.
So remember lightning. All right. Shout out to, love you, Nehemiah. So you're good. If you hear some noise in the background, don't worry about that. Anyways, All right, here we go. You ready, Ziba, for the lightning round?
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Simple. Texting or talking on the phone?
Talking on the phone.
Okay. I had a feeling you were going to say that one. All right. Artist or song that is currently on repeat?
Man, Luke Flossin. That's L-U-T-E. Luke Flossin. You got to throw it on if it's on a summer day or it's a, put it on. Throw it on.
Okay. Something that most people wouldn't know about you.
Yeah, that I got family from Malawi, and Malawi is a country in Africa that probably a lot of people don't know about. So
right, okay. Next one, fill in the blank. Kanye West is
recovering.
Most used emoji icon.
Man, either the 100 or the crying, the laughter, crying emoji. Man, you should know that one.
Who is the better roaster? Christian Landa or David Wilson?
Oh, man. Oh, he caught me in the deer in the headlights. Man, I'm gonna have to roll with my man. He's my man. It's Christian Landa.
Okay. Let's get it. Sorry, David. We're gonna have to get you back on here and see what happens. All right, here we go. Is it wrong for vegetarians to eat animal crackers?
I was all waiting for something serious. No, it's not.
Okay. Person who inspires you the most?
Ooh, man, I'm not trying to get the same. Man, it's tough, but I would have to say, man, I would have to say Jesus, man. Christ has really been an example for me. Yeah.
Shout out to Jesus Christ. next one. Worst nickname given to you?
Man,
you better not say Zabisky.
Paw Paw, man. People were disrespectful because I was old souled, and so that's pretty
bad. Oh, they called Paw Paw.
Paw Paw, man. That's all.
Yeah. I got a few more here. If your life was a mixtape, what would it be called?
Man, I would say this is my song.
Love it. Biggest lesson you learned in 2021?
Just be humble.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's it.
Beautiful. And last but not least, as we always end the show, every leader needs
struggle.
You heard it here. Every leader needs struggle. Anthony Ziba, episode 35. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope this was a valuable information content. Anthony Ziba, thank you for being on here, man. Love you, bro. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Lead Up Podcast. Peace.